Welcome, everyone. We've turned the tables today. I'm going to be hosting the podcast. My name is Sarah Levy. I'm joined by Andrew Levy. And we've come into the new year very excited about a new project that we're working on, which is a video that we are producing around absence and the abuse of sick leave. Now, this is an issue that we know many of our clients and many employers have significant issues with. It's something that affects every supervisor, every manager who has to manage sick leave and the abuse of sick leave, most importantly. So what we've done for today's podcast is we've looked at three common questions, possibly the most common questions that we are asked by our clients, and we're going to answer those questions for you. So the first question is, can I send an employee to a company-appointed doctor?
You certainly can, and there's plenty of case law to support that. It is a good thing to have in your contract of employment, because then you back it up with a contractual certainty. But even in the absence of that, you can. Now, of course, the employee can refuse, because you can't hold them down while a doctor conducts an inspection. A constitution protects you in that sense. But then what you are dealing with is the refusal. And that in itself leads you down the path, which ultimately or even immediately could lead to a dismissal in those circumstances. So certainly it's a very useful thing to do. And as I always say, when the employees know that you are looking, they will tend to not do the things you don't want them to do.
So as we look at this question in a little bit more detail, you've said that ultimately we look at that refusal, the refusal to go to a doctor. In practical terms, how would you set that up to help you in terminating an employee? Yeah.
In the case where the employee refuses to go to the doctor, my response is very simple. Sit the employee down. You say, here's a piece of paper, here's a pen. I'd like you to write out your reasons as to why you refuse. I need to understand. Maybe we can accommodate them. Maybe we can deal with them, but I need to know them. 9 times out of 10, the employee refuses to write them down and, of course, to sign. Now, there you've got another act of refusal. Question, is this a reasonable and a legitimate and a lawful instruction? I'm absolutely of the view that it is. Once again, what reasonable employee who was being completely honest would refuse? So you end up with a dodgy situation to begin with, a refusal to see the doctor, a refusal to commit any reasons at all to writing, let alone verbal reasons, and I think that sets you up. Once again, you don't immediately go into disciplinary mode. You say to the employee, look, I'd like you to reflect on this. Go away, think about it for a couple of days, talk to your advisors, talk to your shop steward, anyone, but I'm going to ask you to come back on Wednesday in 3 days' time and to actually do this. Now, if you've got it in your contract, you're on a slightly stronger ground, because then you've got a breach of contract. But by and large, that's the practical way to approach this question.
Good. Thank you. I think the other question that's related that we didn't include as our top three questions, but is important in this conversation, and that is, are we obliged to pay for that medical, for that kind of, to see that doctor?
Good point. And the answer is absolutely. If you are giving the instruction, which, as I've said, I think is lawful and reasonable, go and see a company doctor, and I'll come back to that point in a moment, then not only must we pay for the doctor, we need to pay you for the time. We need to provide transport or pay for the transport. We can't expect the employee to put their hand in their own pocket for this one. And by the way, just talking about a company doctor, generally speaking, the usual thing is to give the employee a list of 3 or 5 doctors in the area and say, you choose anyone.
Yeah.
And then once again, they can't argue that this man is in the pay of the company and, you know, he's biased, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. Thank you. What do we do in the situation where we say to an employee comes in and says they were sick and we say, well, we're declining sick leave. We don't believe you were sick. There actually isn't any certification, because, of course, the key for an employer is that it's not our decision whether the person was sick or not. But we're in a situation where we're going to decline sick leave. as the employer, and the employee turns around and says, I'll take it as annual leave.
You know, this is such a frequent response, and employers don't understand it. I mean, it's clear in the BCEA. It says annual leave is taken by mutual agreement, which tells us nothing because in labor relations, we're only interested in what happens when there's no agreement. And it goes on in the BCA to say, in the case of no agreement at a time convenient to the employer. And just in passing, annual leave of this nature needs to be approved beforehand and not, you know, agreed afterwards, ex post facto, as lawyers might say. So the first thing is I have a two-pronged approach to abuse of sick leave. The first thing is you don't pay. And sooner or later, they will feel it in the pocket. And then you initiate disciplinary action. Now, maybe nothing more than a recorded warning or even a verbal warning. Say, look, this is not acceptable. And the next time I want you to do X, Y, and Z. So you're starting on the path. But unquestionably, the employee cannot demand annual leave. It's the employer, and the employer needs to start the process, the twofold process of I'm not going to pay you and I'm going to start warning you.
Good. Thank you. I think on this interplay of annual leave and sick leave, another common question that we get is an employee goes on annual leave and they come back and tell us, oh, they were sick. The real complicating factors here is, I guess, if they've got a medical certificate and they say, I was sick for 5 days, yeah. What are you required to do? But what if it's not certified?
Yes.
So let's look at both of those.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing is very simple. Sick leave is there to give you pay on a day which you are ill and you would have worked or you would have been paid. So clearly sick leave applies to annual leave. And so many employers say, well, if you're sick on annual leave, that's tough. That's your problem. You don't get sick leave. Well, the answer is you do. But now we go into the detail of, well, when do I need a certificate? Now, let's take the typical case where it's less than 2 days. 2 days or less, no certificate. There's not much you can do. But the single most important thing in dealing with any abuse of sick leave is to find a pattern. Now, this pattern may take you a couple of years because they're going to do it every year. But you'll find that pattern. If they're away for longer than 3 days, then I certainly, in the absence of that, I would not, you know, give them sick leave.
You wouldn't give them the benefit of the doubt.
Absolutely not. But I think that the prudent employer, in their absenteeism policy, and maybe that in itself is a subject for a podcast. I think we may have done a podcast on that. But it should be in their policy. If you become ill on annual leave, contact us immediately. We may ask you to see a doctor at our expense. Alternatively, if it's longer than 2 or 3 days, you may need to see a doctor if you want to claim sick leave. So let people know up front. Not in the contract, in your policy.
Well, always just good employee relations.
Absolutely.
Actually, set things in your policies, let people know where they stand, and try and clarify issues before they become contentious.
Right. And, you know, the honest employee, the good employee, the good faith, you won't have a problem with the employee who's a dodger and diver and a skiver and this, that, and the other.
You could get into alliteration in a big time, in a big way.
I could, absolutely.
Good. So I think, to me, this conversation, and we decided to keep it brief. We were only looking at three areas, but it shows you the depth and the extent to which there is complexity in the law, complexity in application of the Basic Conditions of Employment Act. And we're going to be looking at that through the rest of the year, both in our podcasts and, as I said, in this video that we've been working on.
I agree. And perhaps just a final note is to say, yes, there's a great deal of complexity, but if you can trace the thread of logic through that complexity, all of a sudden, it becomes clear.
Okay.
You unlock it.
So we've looked at three issues around absence and the abuse of sick leave. And we can see that they become, you know, the kind of, again, we need to focus on the facts of each case. But what we're looking to do is always to reduce it to the principles. Because if you can reduce your thinking to principled thinking, it all becomes very clear. And that's certainly what we're trying to achieve in the video that we've created. Thank you very much for joining us. We look forward to chatting to you again.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.